Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. You know, I never get tired of hearing that song. I mean, it's Jump, and it really should be Crush. And tonight we're really in for a treat. Jeremy Baker, he stands 5 feet tall, 11 inches high, 5 feet 11 inches tall, and weighs 260 pounds and possesses some of the most powerful hands in the world. I am just so excited to have Jeremy on here. His story is incredible. I've just been reading just a few things here, and crushing boards and 5 feet of concrete. I'm just amazed and honored to have Jeremy on the call. Welcome, Jeremy.
Hey, thank you so much. I'm honored to be with you guys and heard nothing but incredible things about your radio show and how awesome it is. And so thanks for having me as being a special guest.
Yeah, we're glad to have you. Now, listen, I'm going to ask you just a couple questions about what you do, and I want you to brag because I know you're tremendously humble. And I love you. You've got a beautiful family. You've got a wonderful story. But you just go ahead and brag anytime you want on our show, okay? You just feel free.
All right. Sounds great.
Now, before we get going here, a little technical thing here. Do you hear an echo, Jeremy?
I do hear a little bit of an echo.
Yeah. So, Alan, I'm not sure if we can fix that with the board system. Okay. We'll just keep going here. Sorry about the echo there. But gold medal board breaking. Oh, the echo's off. Great. Gold medal board breaking. Tell me what that is. Tell me right away what gold medal board breaking is.
Yeah, that was a tournament that I did in the Northeast. It was a martial art tournament, taekwondo board breaking expedition. And so basically it was an open class from a no belt all the way up to third degree black belts could enter. And so I came in as a brown belt in taekwondo and entered the competition. And basically what it was you had to stack up these boards that you break in karate expeditions and use quarter inch spacers. And so we were stacking them up at 10, 12, 15 high. And when I first got there, you know, just to be real transparent with you, I was a little nervous. Because most of the time, you know, we don't really break a lot of boards. We break more concrete. And I saw some of these guys that were second degree, third degree black belts. They were breaking, you know, 10, 15, you know, using their fist. It was called a hammer strike. And I thought, wow, that's pretty impressive. You know, and so what I did is my first go around, I stacked up 10. And instead of doing a hammer strike, I thought I could punch through more boards than hitting it with just a hammer fist. So I punched through 10 and were able to make it and made it to the second round, made it to the third round. And in the final round, I broke 16 boards, which was unheard of, but they also didn't know I was part of the group called the Power Team. And so we've been breaking boards and bricks for, you know, so many years. So it's something
that's
that we
incredible.
Do every night. Yeah.
Now,
so it was pretty cool.
Brick, bats, and bars, boards, bricks, bats, and bars, and you
yeah.
do telephone books, and you do cards. Now, I know that some of our listeners want to get some of these hard questions out of the way, and normally I wait till maybe halfway through our show to ask the hard questions, but I think you're good for it. I'm going to ask you, I'm just going to fire off some questions. You can answer
yeah.
as short or fast as you like. Okay. Is it all technique? We get that in arm wrestling. You've got to get that question in what you do.
Yeah, I would say, honestly, in some of the feats that you do, whether it's ripping a phone book, bending a steel bar, snapping a bat, blowing up a hot water bottle, breaking a stack of concrete, there's always going to be some level of technique to it. But I think a lot of times, too, though, you've got to look past the technique and look at the strength level because, you know, the human body is able to do more than what the average human thinks it's capable of doing. You know, no one ever thought we would have a 1,000-pound deadlift. Well, today we have over 1,100-pound deadlift. So, you know, the body is able to be pushed to the max. That's why back in, I think it was 1956 or 1954, when Roger Bannister, he ran the mile in under 4 minutes. Well, no one thought the mile could be ran in under 4 minutes. So the human body is able to be pushed. So, you know, we snap baseball bats. It takes about a 400-pound bench press to snap a baseball bat. But also, not just having a 400-pound bench press, you got to know where to place the bat at. There has to be a technique. Do you put it in the inner hip? Do you put it, you know, more on the outside of the leg? Do you put it just over the kneecap? So there's some technique to it, of course.
Yeah, and I just I wish we had more than an hour, because we're going to have you on again, because I can feel a metaphor coming already. Now, getting back to what you just said, the human body is able to be pushed beyond what it is capable, and that's true. And as soon as you said that, I thought of people moving cars to rescue a child, and you know,
yeah,
doing things like that, big boulders. Do you have to get yourself into a certain mentality, even though it is, some of it, like you said, technique and put it in your leg, and I'm sure you've got gigantic bruises there. But do you have to get your mind in a mindset there?
Yeah, I think, you know, I've been doing this for, this is my 16th year, and I think every night that I do this, we do this about, we're in 100 cities a year, so I'm on the road about 40 weeks out of the year. And so what you have to do is you have to get your mind prepared mentally. Now, of course, when I was younger, I didn't really think that I had to get prepared mentally. But now that I'm older, I'm going to be 40 in a couple months, and now the age has has come around. Now I'm really preparing myself mentally so I don't get hurt, so I can still be around for the longevity of it. Mentally preparing myself, getting my mind right, seeing myself hit the wall of concrete, seeing myself run through the wall of ice, seeing myself explode through the 3 2x4s, knowing that my foot works right, knowing that, you know, my mind is right, knowing that I feel good about it, knowing that, hey, everything is set up properly, everything is ready to go. So I think there's a lot of mental to it. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you, Jeremy. Our guest is Jeremy Baker, world-renowned board breaker, bricks and bats, a strong man. You've got a website called thepowerteam.com, and you're absolutely right about the, as we age, we have to take steps and measures to stay on top, and no one, you know, knows that as much as my husband with 26 world titles in arm wrestling, and he is 59, and he's going to kill me if I get it wrong, but he is looking at that kind of that age factor. You know, your body is human, and if the ancient writings is, if by reason of strength we be fourscore, so we can get to 80, maybe even 100, and you know, God bless Betty White, but you still got to prepare and train, like you said, to keep that level of power and strength. It's got to be, like you said, taxing on your body, but the body can do what it needs to do. Now, you've got a tremendous story of coming from a real painful home, and I'm going to leave you to share what you would like, but obviously we want to know how you got into this. Why on earth would you travel around the world for weeks on end? You have a beautiful family, and to share your story of championing through some painful things. So give us a snapshot of how you just like got into this, and why, what happened, how did you end up, I think I'll break boards one day.
Yeah, it's not something that, you're growing up and say, hey, this is going to be my career. It was really, I believe in a higher power. So I really believe that, you know, God had orchestrated my steps, that this would be something that I would do with my life. And what happened was, I grew up in a very dysfunctional home, and dad was into drugs and alcohol and violence, and he ran with a motorcycle gang. And so my family life was really not there. I really didn't really have a dad and a mom when I was younger, and kind of was out on my own, doing my own thing, being disrespectful. And one day, someone invited me to see this group called the Power Team. And this is our year that we celebrate 40 years this year. And so they invited me to see this group. It was November the 14th, 1984, and I was 9 years old. I was in a dysfunctional home. I was messed up. I was an insecure kid, a kid filled with anxiety and stress and all kinds of problems. And I went to this program, and I was so inspired by four men that stood on a stage that were world-class athletes, bodybuilders, powerlifters, muscle-bound men that broke giant walls of concrete, that blew up hot water bottles, that snapped out of handcuffs, that I was so inspired by that feat of strength that it really captivated my attention. And then they shared a message about their faith in God. And that evening, it was really life-changing for me. That evening, I heard a story about a man that was a drug addict, and he gave his life to Christ, and he became a preacher. And I thought, man, I wonder if God could do something like that for me and my family. And to make a long story short, that evening I opened the door of my heart and I gave my life to Christ and put my faith in the Lord, and it changed my life forever. And about a year in the works, my whole family came to Christ. And today my dad's a pastor at a church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. My brother's a missionary in Haiti. My mom works at the church. My sister works at the church. My whole entire family is involved in what we would call ministry, church ministry, outreach, evangelism, helping people. And so, that was kind of the start for me. And as a kid growing up, it would be a dream to be on the power team. But back then, in order to be on the power team, you had to be either a professional football player, or you had to have these massive accolades and, these big trophies, or, bench press the world. I mean, they just wanted guys with these credentials that were just top of the line. And for me, I'm 5'11", I'm 260 pounds, I'm just an average weightlifting guy. And so what I started doing is I started developing some hand strength. I started getting those grips and started working the grips, started working the forearms, just like kind of some of the arm wrestlers out there, a lot of form, a lot of hand grip, a lot of hand strength. And so I've been beginning to, go down that road. And next thing I know, someone showed me how to rip a deck of cards. So I ripped a deck of cards. Someone showed me how to rip a phone book. I began to rip a phone book. Someone showed me how to bend a crescent wrench. I would be able to bend a crescent wrench, take a 16-penny nail, drive it through a 2x4. So over the years, I began to develop, if you can say, some hand strength. And then the power team took notice of that, and I was able to be a member of the power team because of my hand strength. Wasn't the biggest guy. They had a lot bigger guys than me, but I had this development of this hand strength that was able to open the door for me back in 1998. And it's been a great journey. And really, the last, to kind of fill in that last question, the reason why I leave my family and travel is because I was grateful that someone came and rescued me. Someone came to my city, encouraged me to be a dream maker, not a dream breaker. Someone encouraged me to put my faith in God. Someone encouraged me to be that world changer. And, that's what I feel. I feel in my heart that every time I go out and every time we go out and we speak in these schools and we speak in these nighttime programs, that I'm encouraging someone out there not to give up. It's not how you start the race of life, but it's how you finish. And so it's been really great for me over these 16 years of doing this.
Wow, that's amazing, Jeremy. And it puts a new spin on the phrase pay it forward in a huge way. And you, your wife has been supportive of this. And clearly you know that, by you're saying by divine fiat, the Lord has been there. And you share these experiences with people. And we're all an expert on our own story. And then you go out and you share this. Now, obviously, churches love to have you come and share your story, and people's lives are changed. Now, does your group, the Power Team, also cater? Because I know we have listeners of all, the whole gamut of listeners. Does it cater to companies or businesses? How does it stretch beyond just the Christian perspective, if you will? Does it apply
Sure.
to all lives?
Yeah, I think, a lot of what we do is motivational. We will have a stack of concrete that's 2 to 3 feet high stacked up, breaking 16-inch blocks. that are about 2 inches thick, about 16 inches long, about 4 inches wide, and we stack about, you know, 2 to 3 feet up, and we talk about different walls that every one of us have. Maybe it's a wall of insecurity. Maybe it's a wall of fear. Maybe it's a wall of doubt. Maybe it's a wall of, hey, what people have labeled you as. Maybe they labeled you when you were younger that you were never mount anything. You were never going to make it because of who your mom was or who your dad was, or maybe a lack of a mom or lack of a dad, whatever it may be. And we use these as illustrations. So in corporate America, we'll use it as, hey, guess what? You can overcome. You can make it through. Hey, you can get more sales. You can get more things accomplished. You just got to break down these barriers that hold you back. Because every single one of us have some type of a barrier that holds us back, whether it be the way we think, whether it be the way we believe, whether it be the way we, you know, how we grew up. We all have barriers in our life that every day we're striving to break down these barriers so that we can achieve those dreams and goals that we have in life. So we do this in corporate America. We do this in schools across the United States of America. We've done this in 60 different countries worldwide. In 40 years, we've been on national TV. We were on the Walker Texas Ranger program. 8 months ago, we were featured on America's Got Talent. So we've been all over the nation. It's opened major doors for us because of the motivational talk of what we can give people, talking about being a dream maker, not a dream breaker, talking about whatever your mind can conceive, you can achieve, of course, if you believe. We talk about self-esteem, you know, believing in yourself. Because a lot of kids today, a lot of people today, they just lack confidence. They just need someone in their corner to say, you know what, you can make it, you can do it, you're going to succeed, you're a champion. They just need someone to believe in them. And once someone knows that they believe in them, they're able to accomplish your dreams and goals in life when people have that support system. So we do this in schools. We do it in about 1,000 schools a year. Close to 1 million kids will hear our message. It's a message about drinking. It's not a message about drinking responsibly. It's a message about, hey, if you're going to drink, realize the consequences for your actions. We have 3.3 million teenage alcoholics. Hey, if you're thinking about doing drugs, realize the consequences for your actions. If you're going to drop out of high school, realize that 4 out of 5 men that are in prison today never graduated from high school. You know, we have over 1 million teenagers every year drop out. And so our heart is just to encourage kids that life's about choices, and the choices you make, you know, will determine your outcome, your success. And so in our school program, we really try to encourage kids to say no to drugs, no to alcohol, yes to academics, yes to education, yes to their dreams and goals. And so it's been very effective, I believe, in doing this for 16 years.
Amazing. Outstanding. I love it. Now, I got a question about training, and I love that your choices determine your success and outcomes. And then you said results. So before I get to that question about training, and I'm also going to share a second about our sponsor, but tell us, when you say there's great results, what kind of things have you seen as a result of the Power Team going out and speaking to kids and the audiences? What kind of results have you seen?
Yeah, for me personally, I'll just bring it home. I'll bring it more personal for me. The results have been a little girl named Samantha in Missouri who grew up in a broken home and felt like no one cared about her. Her mother worked a full-time job and was never home for her and never around, and so she really didn't have a mother figure, never had a father figure, and her dad left when she was really young, and she started cutting herself. A lot of people don't know that there's a lot of kids out there today. They'll take a razor blade, they'll take a knife, they'll take a piece of glass, they'll take some sharp object, and they'll cut their wrists or their forearms to see if they have any kind of feeling, any kind of joy or love in their life, and they'll cut themselves and they'll go through this motion. And this little girl named Samantha, she came to me after our school assembly, and I was speaking at, and she goes, you know, I was really inspired today by your message. And I heard what you talked about, because we talk about suicide. We talk about, don't cut yourself. We talk about you're more valuable than that. You're more precious than that. And she was so inspired that she said, you know what, I want to give you something. And she handed me this paper towel, and I didn't realize what was in the paper towel until I opened up later, but it was the piece of glass that she used every night that she would cut and carve into her forearm because she wanted to feel loved. She wanted to feel accepted. And she said, I want to give this to you. I'm going to stop doing this. I heard your words today, and I'm going to go after my dreams and goals. And so that's one story of thousands of stories that keep me on the road. When I hear something like that, you know, Carol, it helps me to get back on the airplane. It helps me to snap another mat. It helps me to drive my head through another wall of concrete or blow up another hot water bottle. And so things like that just motivate me that I know I'm making a difference one kid, one school, one city, one state at a time.
Oh, that's tremendous. You're absolutely right. And I love your passion and your heart for others. And obviously you're going to continue doing it until God tells you otherwise, I'm sure. And when you talk about boards and things like that, obviously you don't recommend that these kids go out and smash their head against a board, and you probably give all kinds of disclaimers. But the principle of training and the reason why you go and do the boards that you have is because when you do that, you start small and you get bigger and bigger, and the body builds up a tolerance to that. And in a sense, don't you think that there's like a metaphor there for life, that God would give you the trials and the training that you can handle, and slowly he knows what you can handle as far as trials mm-hmm. in life. So it's kind of like the training that we go through. I think there's even a verse that talks about the training that we have to do as Christians in life. Do you feel that your training physically has also helped your walk with God and your family and your maturity, that you've been trained in that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I think training has a big part in my life personally, because it's an act of discipline. It's an act of pushing the body. It's an act of saying, body, you know, I know people say that you can't do this, but, you know, body, you can do this. And, you know, I know you don't want to hit these weights right now. I know you don't want to feel the resistance. I know you don't want to put your arm on another table and grab another man's arm and, you know, try to win the arm wrestling tournament or that event. But you push yourself, and when you push yourself, you actually grow. And, you know, what happens is, what stops most people is the pain, is the process, is the resistance. Most people don't ever achieve their physical goals in life is because they don't want to go through the process. They don't want to feel the pain. They don't want the resistance in life. But if they would push through that, they'll end up achieving their dreams and goals in life. And so I definitely think there's a metaphor there. I think, you know, for me, I'm very disciplined. I work out every day, 7 days a week. Of course, different body parts, different types of training, of course. It's not just a bodybuilding routine. It's not just a powerlifting routine. It's different things that would help me on stage when we break the walls of concrete, when we run through 2x4s, when we snap bats, blow up hot water bottles, etc. So there's a different style of training, but I think you're so right on that, though. You know, we've got to look past what our mind, dictates to us. We got to look past, you know, one thing I was told a long time ago: the way a man thinks is the way he lives his life. So if you think big, you go big. If you think little, you'll go little. If you think you can, then eventually you can. If you think you can't, then eventually you can't. And what stops most people is by the way they live. You know, hey, man, I don't think I can. I just don't know. I'm not sure. No, we've got to tell ourselves every day, hey, this is our day. We're going to accomplish our dreams and goals. We're going to make it. We're going to persevere. We're going to push through. We're going to be determined, and we're going to have the outcome that we want in life.
Well, amazing. So, I love it. And during my show, I normally take notes, and then I recount back to our guest. And I've been taking notes like I'm in college. You got me back in school. Now, I was going to say thank you to our sponsors. It is the Tower Garden, and it's a hydroponic aeroponic system. Grows 6 feet tall in water and air. It's completely locavore, and you can grow all your vegetables in it. It's called. You can look it up. Our listeners can look it up. TheTowerGardens.com. TheTowerGardens.com. And thank you for our sponsors for that, to grow a lot of food in a little space. Now, I wanted to ask you, nutrition-wise, since we're talking about growing good food and good vegetables, what do you do to keep yourself in shape? You obviously don't mac out on junk foods, but please tell us that you're human and you have a snack now and then. So what do you do to keep in shape?
Well, let me go ahead and just get this out now so I can just be transparent. I have two small children, so there is cookies in the house. So sometimes the cookies call my name, and I call their name, and we become one. But, you know, I'm a normal guy. I eat about 4 to 5 times a day, and in that is they're all solid meals. You know, high protein, low carb, try to eat clean. What I mean clean is watching the fat intake, watching the sugar intake, watching the amount of carbs that I'm eating. But one thing for us is we do feats of strength all day long. So an average day for us is about 18 hours. We do anywhere from 3 to 4 school assemblies in a day, and then we do what we call a nighttime program. The nighttime program lasts for about 1.5 hours. The school assembly lasts for about 45 to 50 minutes. So we're burning a lot of calories every single day. So on the road, I would say it's a lot tougher to get the food intake that you really need. When we're home, we try to make up the difference, you know, put a few pounds back on, because when you're on the road, you kind of lose a few pounds. And so really it's in the morning, it's egg whites, it's oatmeal. Then, you know, it would be a scoop of protein added to the oatmeal just so that our protein is high. Protein, of course, is the building block for muscles. And, of course, we take amino acids. We try to take glutamine, glucosamine, your multivitamin, just your basic stuff just to stay healthy. Of course, vitamin C, B12, all that, just to try to stay healthy on the road. Because, you know, as you travel, your immune system is exposed to a lot of different germs, whether it be an airplane, airport, hotel room, school system. And it just doesn't matter. So, yeah, we try to eat clean for the most part. Right now there's 15 athletes on the team. And, you know, some of the guys have played in the NFL. So some of the guys, they'll eat a little bit more than some of the other guys. You know, some of the guys were bodybuilders, and they'll eat strict. I'm talking real strict, where, you know, they weigh their food and they only can eat so much, you know, carbs and so many calories per meal per day. And so I'm kind of just the average guy. I would say I'm probably on more of a light bodybuilding diet, high protein, low carb. And that's kind of what I'm on. That's what I do.
Yeah, that sounds great. Now, do you have a movie coming out soon, or what are you guys doing? I know you're going from place to place to place, but is there anything movie-wise coming out?
Yeah, there's a movie called Born Again, and it's supposed to be out in this fall. And they're actually Netflix and iTunes. It's going to be on there. It's called Born Again, and it's really a story about the Power Team. It started in 1975. By a guy named John Jacobs. He started the Power Team. He was just a world champion weightlifter, and he had a heart to really minister to people in a unique way. And so he wanted to get people's attention. You know, the whole reason why we break bricks and blow up hot water bottles and snap bats isn't because it's something that I wake up every morning and think, you know what, I'm going to go in my backyard and stack up a stack of concrete and drive my head through it. You know, or, hey, I'm going to go to the sporting goods store and buy a few baseball bats and try to snap them. And, you know, my motivation is doing those feats of strength. All it is a tool to get someone to listen to you. It's a platform. It gives me a platform to be able to speak an encouraging, life-changing message into someone's life. And so, you know, they might not want to listen to the guy in the suit and tie, but they might listen to a guy that says, hey, I'm going to break a Louisville Slugger right now, 180 powerized baseball bat. It takes a 400-pound bench press to break this bat in two. But I want you to watch this real quick as I attempt to snap this bat in two. Well, next thing you know, you snap this bat. Next thing you know, you have 500 to 1,000 kids' attention, and you've captivated them, and now you can share a motivational message.
I love it.
You know, in all that, it's just something that we're very passionate about. Our real passion is just to really reach these young people. You know, we believe if we can reach this generation, you know, we can change this nation. And so that's really one of our heartbeats of who we are as an organization. We want to make a difference. We want to leave an impact. We want to leave a legacy. We want to help someone make right decisions, right choices. And so,
I love it. That's a great, a point about making a difference. Every one of us makes a footprint, whether it's a small or large one, and whether we're in a big social area and whether it's positive or negative, we're leaving some kind of impression and a footprint. And I remember a story about a young boy that was throwing the starfish that were on the ocean beach throwing them back into the ocean one by one, but the tide was going out, and someone said, why are you doing that? It's not going to make a difference. And he picked up one, and he said, it'll make a difference to this one, and tossed it in.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah, I get
great.
It. And then,
absolutely.
So now if you had, you know, 300 kids and you have their attention, you've just smashed the boards and you've put your head through 18 blocks of ice and you're just like the mouths are open and you're standing there and now someone says to you, Jeremy, you've only got 30 seconds, 1 point you get to make, and then we got to whisk you off to Bali or something. What would be the one piece of advice that you would give kids as you're walking out the door?
Wow. Wow. That's good.
I know. This is where the half mark. I do a tough question, and you already did my tough question, so I got to find one.
Yeah, that's a tough question. I think for me it would be never give up, never surrender, never run away, never retreat. Because I've overcome a lot of things in my own life personally, insecurity, fear, not believing in myself. And so I would encourage kids in that, hey, no matter what people said about you, whether it's true or not true, you can overcome anything in life. You just got to be determined. You got to push through, and you've got to believe.
I love it. And you know, you have to have, like you said, someone believing in you, but in the sense that if in the fact you don't have someone, then we've got to summon it up ourselves, because a very prevalent situation right now going around worldwide, but particularly in the United States, is this whole thing of bullying. Now, you have two
mm-hmm.
children, and so this is obviously very in the foreground. And now when you talk about give up, never surrender, never retreat, and I remember when I was younger, I was on a bus, and they were teasing this one boy that had super short pants, and of course, I defended him, and he ended up walking off to school, and I ended up in a fight with somebody trying to help this kid that was bullying. And you gotta be honest, though. Never give up, never surrender, never retreat. And in arm wrestling, sometimes we just have to lay it down. When you're arm wrestling, you're gonna maybe break someone's arm. So, speak to us about the noble qualities of both standing up for yourself and bullying when there's bullying going on, or standing up for someone else, or when you have to kind of leave it go and let the Lord deal with it. And I think there's an ancient verse that says, answer not a fool according to his folly. So speak to us
yeah.
about that discernment, when to step forward and when to use a better part of wisdom.
Yeah, that's a great, great question and a great analogy, too, that you use. You know, today in America, a lot of people might not know this, but 60% of our kids that go to public schools are bullied in one way or another, 60%. So if we have 99,000 public schools in America currently, 60% of our kids that go to school are bullied in one way or another, whether that be verbally, whether that be through social media, whether that be physically, that's all acts of being bullied. And we have a campaign on the Power Team. We talk about being a buddy and not a bully. See, when you're a buddy, you're able to encourage someone else, just like you were. You were a buddy on that school bus. And now it ended up getting you in trouble, but you were a buddy. You were trying to stick up for someone that couldn't stick up for themselves. And, you know, we live our life here in my family, in our house. We live by the golden rule, you know, do as unto others as you would have them do unto you. So we really believe in speaking up for those that can't speak up, standing up for those that can't stand up, you know, helping those that can't help themselves. So that's something that, as far as our core values of our house, we really believe in those things. And so, you know, really, I would say in that issue, I think every issue, every circumstance would have to have its own judgment. But I think in general, I think we as Americans, we as human beings, let me just put it that way, we as people of this planet called Earth, we need to speak up for those that are less fortunate. We need to speak up for those that are not able to speak up for themselves. You know, I heard this phrase one time, Carol, and it stuck with me the majority of my life so far. You'll never exhaust your potential in life when you help someone else succeed. You'll never exhaust your potential in life when you help someone else succeed. And so I think when we as human beings understand that we have to stand up for those that can't stand up for themselves, or we need to draw the line in the sand and say, hey, that's not right. You know, we can't do that. We can't belittle, put down, call people names. You know, words have power. You know, I tell kids all the time in elementary school, you know, the old nursery rhyme, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, that's a lie. because words do hurt. Words are like an elevator. They can bring someone up or they can bring someone down. You know, words are more powerful than guns. Words are more powerful than knives. We've got people today that are grown adults that are on major medication because words that were spoken over them, words that were talked about to them when they were younger, and they're still trying to cope with it today. Words do hurt. But how do we overcome those words? How do we overcome, you know, being bullied? Well, we've got to look past that individual and say, no, I'm not going to label myself that way. I'm going to believe in myself. I'm going to surround myself with people that believe in me, people that care about me, people that have their best interest for my life in their life. I'm going to be around people that are going to build me up, that are going to encourage me, that are going to motivate me, that are going to inspire me, they're going to want me to be all I can be in this world. And so we choose as a family to be around people that are really encouragers, really people that are really motivated about going out of their way and helping others feel good. And so that's why we want to give back. You know, my kids, I got a 7-year-old and a 12-year-old, and both of my boys, you know, when they get in a little brother argument, what they have to do is they have to stand toe-to-toe, and they have to say 10 good things about each other. Now, this is so funny. You know, I wish my parents did this to me. But when they're angry with each other because maybe someone went in someone's room and maybe took something they shouldn't have took or maybe said something they shouldn't have said, and all of a sudden dad finds out about it, now they got to stand toe-to-toe, and they have to encourage each other. The reason why I do make my children do this is because I'm trying to instill in them, hey, your words have power. Don't be a bully. But be a buddy. A buddy is someone that will encourage you. A buddy is someone that will cover you. A buddy is someone that will brag about your strengths and defend your weaknesses. But a bully is someone that will belittle you, cut you, put you down, call you names, whether it be on social media, whether it be on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, whatever it may be out there. You know, that's what a bully does. But a buddy is someone that says, no, you know what, I'm going to believe in that person. And I thank God that God believes in all of us. You know, God believed in me, he believed in you, he believed in all of us. And God has been that inspiration for me because I want to be like him. I want to be like Christ. And that's one scripture in the Bible that says, you know, imitate me. And I want to imitate him. You know, he cared for people. He helped people. He loved people. You know, when Jesus walked this earth, all he did was nothing but good deeds. And that's kind of for me. I want to be that guy. I want to be that guy that can be just a good example, you know, for the world to look to. Hey, that Jeremy guy. Yeah, he might have some he might have some brain cells a little loose from breaking bricks with his head, but he's a good guy. He loves people, he cares about people, and he wants to help people. And so, you know, we really got to be careful with the words that we say though, you know.
You're absolutely right, Jeremy. I feel like I've been at church. I love it. You must have two speeds. You must have supersonic and off.
Oh, yeah. I only know one level. Yeah, that's what my wife tells me all the time. She says, hey, just bring it down or shut it down.
You are such a great speaker, and you have such heart. And I tell her I compliment her on keeping up with you, which is all good, because I live with one of them. And people,
she'll
you know, call
that.
Alan Mr. Intensity. And he's, you know, ready to take it any step he gets, and he's in concentration. In fact, he's getting ready for a competition now, and he's got a question to ask you. So, Alan, champion Alan, take away.
It's not the question, but hey Jeremy, thank you for being on our show. I mean, it's such an honor. You are filled with such amazing wisdom, and like I attacked with Caroline, I said you're a great speaker with a heart, so bless you, brother. I mean, it's just amazing to me.
Well, man, it was such a pleasure to meet you about 8 months ago, man. I just really fell in love with you. Just one of the nicest guys I've ever met, man. I mean that. I saw you at the arm wrestling tournament. Everybody was standing in line to get your autograph, to shake your hand, to ask for pointers. And I just watched how you handled the crowd, man. You gave everyone the time of the day. And, you know, to me, man, that was very admirable, because I've been around a lot of professional athletes in the course of my career on the power team, some big names, some low names, some medium-sized names, but to see you give everyone the time of the day, man, it just really showed me that, man, this guy's the real deal. He really cares about people, and he's a professional arm wrestling, you know, 26-time world champion, and just an incredible guy. And so, man, thanks for having me, but thank you, man, for being that role model. Thank you for guys like me to be able to look to you and say, man, I got to keep it on the straight and narrow and keep doing what we love to do, and that's to love people.
There you go. Hey, one thing that I was really impressed about you when you spoke there at the church is that you spoke about the pains and the bruises and all the things that actually you get when you're performing. I mean, breaking a hickory baseball bat over your leg obviously caused a lot of damage. And you use these different illustrations that you're actually producing on yourself to speak to people. It's like, because like you said, it's like we're constantly doing damage to our bodies. And even us as arm wrestlers in our training and all that kind of good stuff. But I was really impressed with the way you handled that. It's like you were very professional the way you brought that about in that room.
I appreciate it. You know, it is, you know, as you know, being a professional athlete and, you know, arm wrestling for, you know, so many years and being, you know, 26 world titles and all the other, you know, accolades, you know how it is. The human body, you know, wants to quit at a certain point in its career. And, you know, for me, 16 years of snapping bats and blowing up hot water bottles and running through 2x4s, the body, you know, your mind begins to communicate to your body. Your body communicates to your mind and says, hey, you know, I don't know if you've got it anymore. I don't know if you can snap that bat one more time. And you're saying, no, I've been training. I've been committed. I've been dedicated. I might have some bruises. I might have some bumps. I might have some lumps. You know, I might have some torn things, some things that have been put back together by surgery. I can still do it. And I think that's just instilled in us. As an athlete, I think, you know, when you become, you know, at that championship level, you know how to work through those, you know, I call them those little injuries, you know, those things that can kind of, okay, well, I can't push that direction, but I can push this direction. You know, I can't run that way, but I can run this way. And you learn how to navigate through what I think in life. And it's so true in life. You know, sometimes we're going to go through different things in life, and we've got to learn how to navigate. Maybe it's a relationship that went bad. Maybe it's a job that fell apart. Maybe it's you know, something happened in our family, a family dynamic. Maybe the finances, you know, ran out. And we've got to learn how to navigate through life so we just don't come to a standstill and stop, and we can push past those little nagging injuries, that we can push past those little bumps, those little bruises, those little lumps, and then we can ultimately hit the goals that we want to hit in life. And so I absolutely think you're right. I think we've got to just push through it. You know, life's about pushing through and going on and not letting your past hold you back, but knowing your future is bright.
You know, I get this interesting request from my wife and brothers that they're saying, I need to retire because I'm getting old. And obviously the younger group obviously wants me to get out of their way so they can move forward. But do you ever get that? I mean, like your relationship with your wife, you've been doing this for 16 years. I've been doing this for 36 years. And when do you feel, or how do you know when it's time to give up, and how long do you think you can actually go on doing what you're doing?
Yeah, you know, I think that's for every individual. You know, I mean, I look at a guy like you, man. I think you still got. I still think you're in your prime, man. You know, that's just me personally. You know, I think you still got it. You know, but every athlete knows when their time is up. You know, I think every athlete, every championship level, you know, person out there knows when their season is done. And I think for me, I got a guy on the team that's been doing it for 31 years. And so he's kind of my inspiration. I said, man, he's been doing it for 31 years. You know, he's still breaking bricks. He's still blowing up hot water bottles. He's still, you know, running through walls of ice. And, you know, and he's 52 years old. And I'm thinking, man, if this guy can still do it, then I still got some hope. I still got some game left. And I just really think it's every individual, every athlete is going to have to know when their time is up, you know. And, of course, some sports are more impacting. Some sports are low impact. It just really depends on the sport, you know. But I think being a champion, I think it's hard to give up. I think when you're passionate about something, it's hard to let it go. You know, like you're passionate about arm wrestling. You're passionate about helping, you know, the guys that are amateurs, you know, maybe get up to the pro levels. You know, you're passionate about winning competitions still. You know, I'm still passionate about driving my head through concrete. Now, you know, is it right to drive my head through concrete at almost 40 years old? Probably not, but I'm still passionate about it. I'm still passionate about blowing up a hot water bottle. You know, I'm still passionate about ripping a phone book. I mean, does my body, is it passionate? No, but my mind, my heart, and I think when you have the right mind and the right heart, I think you can do it a lot longer than what maybe scientists or doctors say you can do it.
Wow. Beautiful. Well said.
You know, thank you for that, Alan, that question there, airing out our laundry. That's awesome. Thanks, Jeremy, for helping out. You know, they talk about the football players, you know, and how when is the time you want to go. And I've heard some arm wrestlers say, Alan, you know, go out on top because you're kind of got all these 26 world titles. You don't have anything to prove. And go be a coach and go be a referee. So we're kind of having this interesting dialogue. So that we are transparent and we are the real deal. But I have to say about Alan, he is tremendous. And what you said and what you picked up at that sports event was he is absolutely got the hearts of others because he is egoless. I am the one with the ego. I'm the one with five world titles and I'm bragging to make sure everybody counts five. And he's got the, he doesn't care one way or the other, but he cares about people and he spends time to connect with them and find out where they're at. And that is the heart of Alan. And that's why he's known worldwide. Now you've traveled around the world, and I'm going to ask you this question and then go to our sponsor and give you time to think about it. But the question is, in all your travels around the world, what country impacted you the most and why? So now that I've given you that question, I'm going to speak about our sponsor. This half of the hour is Juice Plus. It's encapsulated whole food-based nutritional product with fruits and vegetables, different nutrition from 17 different fruits, vegetables, and grains, delivers key phytonutrients that are absorbed in the body, reduces oxidative stress, which is caused by cumulative damage and free radicals, and supports a healthy immune system. So thank you so much for our sponsor, Juice Plus, and you can go to the website energynutrition.net if you want any more information. So now that I've asked you about your question, what country impacted you the most and why, what say you?
Yes, that's a great question. You know, I love traveling. I think for me personally, I would have to put them in two. You know, I've been to 40 different countries, and two of the top countries was, one was St. Petersburg, Russia, where we performed in front of 60,000 people and over 3 million people on national TV. And it was really an impact for me because I didn't realize the platform was 26 years old, and I didn't realize the platform that I had been given. And so it was an honor to be able to stand and share my story and do amazing feats of strength and entertain a crowd. And that was kind of maybe the second. But I think the top for me would be right outside of Port-au-Prince, Haiti. There was about 18,000 people, and we were there doing an event outside. And out of the 18,000 people, this town right outside of Port-au-Prince had just experienced this massive devastation in this area. It was like 3,000 people had died this disease, and this was back in 2002. And we were there just to bring hope and to encourage this area of there in Haiti. And it was, you know, Haiti is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, and man, there was so much need and so desolate, and it was just kind of abandoned. But afterwards, people just came and they rallied behind us and just said, thank you for coming, thank you for being here, thank you for taking time. And you know, no one had ever told me thank you. You know, up until this point, no one had really said, hey, thank you for leaving your family, your comfort zone, your castle, and coming here and loving on us and encouraging us and motivating us. So I would say, you know, Haiti was one of the most impacting countries for me, just because the people are so caring and loving and so giving of what we've done. And we couldn't give them anything, and we wanted to give them everything. And, you know, we didn't have much to give, and we wanted to feed everybody and clothe everybody and help everybody and build better homes for everybody, you know. And so our heart was broken, but they were so – they had so much gratitude for what we did for them, and so it really blessed me.
Wow, yes, thank you. Now, I want to recap, because I did take notes. I mean, it was amazing that you've shared. I really do appreciate you taking the time to be with us. We can feel your passion and your heart. And for those of you, if by chance you just happen to jump on the radio show, our special guest is Jeremy Baker, world-renowned, board-breaking, power human being and a great motivational speaker. Here's a few things that I wrote down that you have said. The human body is able to be pushed beyond what it is capable. Number two, realize the consequences for your actions. Number three, know that your choices determine your success and outcome. Look past what your mind may think. The man or the way a man thinks is the path he will follow. Here's another one. Never give up, never surrender, never retreat. And then I missed the last one. What, there was another R. Never give up, never surrender, never retreat. Do you remember the last one you said? Nope.
Oh, I
have to go back and listen to it. And then number nine, be a buddy, not a bully. I love that one. And number 10 is a series. Speak up for those who can't speak up for themselves. Stand up for others who can't stand up for themselves. Help others who can't help themselves. You'll never exhaust your potential in life when you help another succeed. And 11 is words have power. And number 12, don't label yourself, believe in yourself. So how'd I do in note-taking?
Oh, you did incredible. That makes me even more motivated.
I love it. I think I botched up
awesome.
The numbering system there, but I really want to thank you for taking the time to spend with us. Now, if you had a charity, if someone handed you $10,000 and you wanted to put it towards a charity of your choice, is there any place where your heart really is that way? I mean, you spoke of Haiti, you spoke of Russia, you spoke of the church in which you attend. Is there any place where you feel, as our listeners are listening in and they're like, gosh, Jeremy, I'm really moved, I want to share, I want to put something towards what you're doing, where should they go? Just thepowerteam.com, or do you have something else?
No, I think thepowerteam.com would be great. And then, of course, you know, we fund mission trips through that, where we pay for the whole trip to go to different countries. I know we're looking at going to Bulgaria here in the fall, and we're also looking at going to Canada and back to Haiti. So, you know, if they wanted to do something like that, all they have to do is go to thepowerteam.com. They could go that route, and that would be a major blessing for us. It helps us, keeps us on the road, keeps us going, and allows us to do what we do.
Well, I wanted to ask you a shameless plug for Alan after he's been competing. If he feels it's time to make a shift, do you want to put him on your power team?
Man, we would be honored. I mean, I'm telling you right now, you're going to have me jumping and doing cartwheels in my own house. We would be honored to have Alan Fisher on the power team. With
well,
all
there you
that
go. Now you can play. Yeah. You can pray for that and see what God's got going on for that.
Yeah, we would just have to make sure he doesn't hurt anybody, because with that guy's arm strength, it was incredible. And I saw some, and I think, you know, I think I was pretty strong, but I went to that was my first arm wrestling meet ever. And I saw some things that blew my mind. I mean, when Alan got into the zone, I was thinking about, you know, when I get into the zone, before I drive my head through a wall of concrete or my fist through a stack of boards. But the zone that he got into was so intense, it just got me so geeked up, and I wanted to arm wrestle somebody, and I don't even know how to arm wrestle.
I love it. That's great. That's a great explanation of Alan getting into the zone. And it is true. People can't believe the kind of intensity that he has going forward. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm going to segue here. We've had a wonderful hour. It's gone by so fast, Jeremy. And our next guest is actually none other than Alan Fisher, because he's got two gigantic tournaments coming up. ESPN is featuring one of them, I'm pretty sure, and the other one is here in San Diego. So people can go to armingchampions.com to see what Alan's doing. But he's going to be our next guest on May 4th, right here on Arming Champions Radio. So yeah, we're glad about that. And Jeremy, please, again, tell your wife thank you so much for loaning you to us, because I know that we're on time difference here. It's nighttime. So tell her thank you from the bottom of my heart. I'd love to get
Absolutely.
To know her better later. And we love that you're doing everything, and God bless you as you step forward boldly what you're doing and speak and give hope to others, kids, businesses, and you're just a true champion, and we're honored to have you on the show.
Well, thank you so much. I'm grateful. Thank you and appreciate everyone. And thank you, Brother Alan and Carol. Thank you for your heart and your ministry, what you guys do.
Awesome.
Take care, my friend.
Take care.
We'll see each other soon.
All right. Thank you, sir. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye.